brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses that He indeed is Lord. Yeah, so there's some that don't want to do that right now, but eventually we will come to the place in reality where all will bow and all will give glory unto God. Whatever state they may be in right now, whatever decision, whatever choice that they've made, still you cannot avoid that which is real and that which is true. Because the ultimate reality of what things are will eventually smack you in the face if you haven't reconciled yourself to it early, and if you haven't aligned yourself with it, then it's going to eventually... you're going to eventually face the truth of whatever that is as you keep moving on in this life and in this paradigm. So, for example, if you're eating bad food, well, it may not show up in your body on the first day, especially if you're not as sensitive to it as some people are. But eventually, if you keep doing that over and over and over again, eventually it's going to come to the point where you're going to realize that this is not working. And you're going to have a breakdown in your health and the rest of it. Likewise, if you reject God, if you reject the truth, if you reject I Am, if you reject the one that created us, made us, provided the way out for us, then eventually you're going to come to that place where you're going to see the repercussions of those actions. So right now, as we continue to move forward in the world, people, one thing I've noticed is there's a lot of people that are very, very invested in their own personal opinions, very invested in their own personal thought. Here's a place of freedom for the follower of Christ. See, truth is true. No matter what. Truth doesn't need a defense, because you can always, if you dig down, you're always going to find the truth remains constant. The truth remains true. So the thing that's nice for the follower of Christ is we can always go back to that bedrock. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, in John 14:6. So for us, when it comes to the truth, and when we're rooted in Christ, we don't have to worry or be concerned or be perplexed about anything, because when you are directionally pointing towards Christ and following Him and rooted and grounded in Him, then and one with Him, then you're one with truth. And when you're one with truth, the truth doesn't need a defense. Because the truth stands on its own. It is everything else that falls because it has no foundation. But the truth is solid. So for us, there's an incredible freedom. Because one, we never have to remember what we said last, because the truth never changes. So we are people of the light, not the lie. The people of the lie have to keep trying to remember what they said last. And they're coming into a time where all of that stuff is cracking up because they can't keep it straight anymore. But... I had a buddy of mine one time in India, and he said, Govinda, he said, I am not smart enough to be a liar. And I said, okay, please explain. He said, well, when you lie, you always have to remember what you said last. And the lie just keeps building on itself. But the truth is always true. So when you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said last, because the truth will always be true. You know, incidentally, that's one of the key things about being in a state of flow, or being in a state of presence, or being in I Am, is to be a truth teller, to be a truth speaker. Because when you speak a lie, you are locking yourself into a paradigm and a spot somewhere in the past. And you're not in the present right now. So when you lie, it instantly takes you out of the present. It instantly takes you out of the now. It instantly puts something there that needs to be cleaned up at some point. So to lie is to be willfully engaging yourself in a trap that will damage your ability and who you are right now. But when you tell the truth, and when you walk in the truth, you're able just to live in presence. and to live in a state of freedom and to live in a state of I am, which we were designed for. So truth is freeing. That's why you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So when you know the truth, when you're one with the truth, you're free because you're also in I am. And right now is, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the moment that you can have it. And you can only walk in freedom right now. You can't do it earlier and you can't do it in the future. You need to do it now because this is the present moment that you have. As an eternal being, this is the moment that you have, and this is the place whereby you can be free, but you gotta exercise it. You gotta move in it. And you also have to break with what the norms are, what society's pushing on you. Now, here's another thing I need you guys to understand. Alright, I was talking to somebody recently about this a little bit. Okay. Sorry, a little sip of tea there. Ah, love this tea. Okay, green tea this time. All right. Now, the British Empire had a policy during its colonial rule. Part of my life I lived in Sri Lanka, which was a former British colony. And the British had a global way that they would take over countries. And it was called divide and conquer, or divide and rule. And what they would do is they would go into a country and they would put one group in the country against another one. So they would find out, you know, what is the way that the country is set up, and they would classes that were previously people that were previously living in harmony, they would create division between them, and then they would pit them against each other. And then as these groups would begin to have animosity against each other and begin to fight against each other, they then would be tearing each other apart. And in the meantime, the British would take whatever resources they wanted to, do whatever they wanted to, go on and carry on, and just completely rule an entire country through this whole process of divide and conquer. And it's a very powerful method that the enemy will use to keep a people weak, to keep a people subservient. Now, again, your free will needs to be engaged if you fall into those kind of things. But here's how it works. So say, for example, in a country like Sri Lanka, well, the chief, the majority population is a group called Sinhala or Sinhalese, that speak Sinhala, and the chief minority group is a group of people called the Tamils, and they speak Tamil. Now the British, while they were there during the colonial period, they set up the Tamil minorities as kind of, they give them a lot of key positions in government and in power, and you know, they worked very hard for those too, but they created this division between the minority and the majority, the chief minority and the majority, so that there was constantly that friction between them. And then when the British left, all the civil war and all the other things that happened eventually just became full-blown because that was how they had set it up. In India, the British did the same thing. They divide and rule. So they got people fighting against each other in that country. And a nation of a billion people, the British only had 3,000 troops there. And 3,000 troops were sufficient to control a nation of a billion people. Now think about that. By sheer volume of people and force of action, and yet they were able to be their colonial masters with just 3,000 troops. So now, when you start to realize that this is part of the strategy that's out there, well, the enemy is constantly working to divide. And the enemy is constantly working to bring division against and with people. Because when we are focused on the wrong enemy, when we are fighting the wrong people, when we are putting our efforts into the case of the British, they just robbed the resources of those countries, took whatever they felt like, did whatever they wanted to do, and they called it a day. Now, when we get into the modern day right now, there's a very deliberate effort to get people fighting the wrong people, stirring people up against the wrong people. And you have to realize that this is part of what's going on. This is part of an agenda, and an agenda that has a very deliberate outcome. Now, here's the thing. When Jesus talked about in his prayer in John 17 that they may all be one, as he is in the Father and the Father is in him, that they may be one in us, John 17. When we are one in the truth, when you are one in the Spirit, what you find is that you are also in a place of spiritual alignment with the Father, and whenever you meet a brother and sister in Christ, you are on the same page. So I've met brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, because God's had me travel all over the world for as long as I can remember, and in this life, and I've met so many incredible people. But part of the process of meeting all these people that were brothers and sisters in Christ is we're one in the Spirit, one in Him. We don't have to convince each other. We don't have to try to win the other person over to our point of view, because you're one in the Spirit, and that person is following Christ as you are following Christ. Just like Paul said to the early church, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus. So when you are following Christ Jesus, you are going to be in step with the Spirit. When Paul said that to them too, for the implication there as well is, if I stop following Christ Jesus, stop following me. So Paul was trying to get people to understand about that relationship that they need to have with the Spirit of the living God. You need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. This is the reality that the children of Christ live in right now. This is also the reason why we need no systems of man. We need no fallen systems of the world. We need no man to rule over us or to try to govern that which God is doing in us. No, what you need is you need a real, true, genuine walk with the Spirit of God, because before Him, you will rise or fall. Before Him, you give an account of your life. That's it. So there is no place for groupthink. Not in this case, no. You need to know Him for yourself and know His voice for yourself. So what we deal with, though, when we're walking through this life, is we're dealing with people around us that, once you are one in the Spirit and you're walking with Him, and that light is in you, and that God DNA has been activated in you by the Spirit of the living God, now you are also walking in a path of freedom. You're walking out of the matrix. You're walking out of the deception. And part of the process of walking out of that deception is they don't want you to, because the entire system is set up to keep you there. So that's when the attacks truly come. That's when the challenges truly come. That's when all of these things will truly come at you, is when you're beginning to walk your way out. Now, the enemy is going to play different games and going to try different tactics. We are not ignorant of the devil's schemes, or in some of the early languages, that's the same. The root words for the schemes is methods. We're not ignorant of the devil's methods. He's got methods that he uses. And we talk about those. We expose those so that you understand. So as you understand, then you don't fall victim to those. But we're not ignorant of the devil's methods, because as we've continued to walk this life out and had real life experiences, and God's walked us through those traps, we make them known so that others can avoid them. And people perish for lack of knowledge. They perish because they don't know and they don't understand, and they just fall into the trap, and then they're deceived and they're taken advantage of, and all these bad things happen. It's unnecessary. You don't need to go that way. Learn. Spend some time, allow the Spirit of God to instruct you, and follow the leading of the voice of the Spirit of God. You know, recently I was talking to somebody about just, you know, in hindsight, some things that some traps that the enemy had tried to put down for me and how I'd walked through those. And only later, like, you know, a year after the fact, understanding what the enemy was trying to do. And, you know, in that time, just how God would quicken me to do certain things, and the process of just listening to the voice of the Spirit, maybe I didn't understand all the things about the traps that were there, but just because I did what the Spirit of God led me to do, I avoided a lot of the damage that the enemy was trying to do to me. You know, I'll give you a small case in point, and I don't necessarily have to go into all these details, because I know that that unless, you know, unless God wants me to, I try to be mindful. But like one case in point was just a situation where there was attempted poisoning involved. And you know, one thing that God would have me do usually when I would go to this particular place is, you know, take my own drink with me. Take my own water. And like, now, I didn't know about all the other stuff that was going on around the scenes, but just in doing that, you know, there was a shield. Just sometimes the most subtle things that God will have you do, you may not necessarily understand them, but just listen to the voice of the Spirit, because the devil has his methods that he's trying to use in the earth. And if you just listen to God, you will be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And he's going to quicken you. He's going to teach you. You're going to be in that right place. But you don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to understand everything. But you do need to know the voice of the Spirit of God for yourself. And you do need to obey. And you do, obedience is better than sacrifice. You do need to learn to walk with and in the Spirit. And you do need to be aware of some of the overarching tactics that the devil will try to use regularly and overtly. Like, he will try to seduce you into his system. And if he can't seduce you into his system and get you of your free will to engage in a system like that, then he will try to crush you, and he will try to oppress you, and he will try to break you down, and he will try to just bring it to the point where you're just so, you just can't even stand up under the press and under the oppression that you face. So, you know, those are normal tactics of his. Now, when he tries to break you, and when you stand, and when you follow the Spirit of God, and when you follow the leading of the Spirit, and when you do that which God has for you to do, and you come through the other side of it, you're stronger, you're more capable, he inadvertently, all things work together for the good of the called according to his purpose, according to the purposes of God. That those things that are meant for evil, God works them together for good, but you just got to keep going. And when you resist the devil and he flees, that works too. So when he tries to seduce you in, and you've got a moral compass working inside of you, and you've got a leading in a direction of the Spirit of God that is helping you and quickening you not to take certain baits that are offered to you, because they're always taste like honey in the mouth, but afterwards they bite. You know, they're bitter. And it's like a viper sting. So, so part of the process is that you're going to have to learn the difference between what it's going to take to walk through, what it's going to take to walk through each situation that comes. Now, the enemy will continue to modify his tactics with you as time goes on. So as you continue to grow, so will his tactics and his attempts. Remember the situation with the temptations of Jesus. They escalated, you know, and there were different times that the enemy tried with Jesus. You know, he tried with after the feeding of the 5,000. You know, after that was over, they tried to force him to make him king. And that was, you know, an attempt to fulfill something that really, I mean, Jesus is the King of Kings. And yet, that was not what God was doing. So, you know, sometimes things will look good on the surface, but that's not what God is doing. And, you know, so you've got to know how and when to walk through. And notice, too, that with the temptations of Jesus in the desert, that there's an escalation there. But the enemy is going to test you in each one of these points. And in each thing, as you're tested, you want to walk through. Now, when you struggle and when you have a place where stuff may happen or things may come up, whatever it may be, you know, whenever you hit that point of limitation, or if you fall, whatever the case may be, dust yourself off, get up, and seek the Lord and continue to walk after Him. Because it's not that we don't live perfect lives while we're here in this earth. No one is perfect. And yet, the Spirit of God encourages us to still seek, go for God's best. Now, when you go for God's best, that's not in the world's terms. That's not in the way of the religious systems, how they've made terminology around that. Because they're all bound. No, you want God's best as He has for you. Because He made you, He knows you, He fashioned you, and He knows what will bring fulfillment in your life and in your time in the earth. Part of the joy of the saints is discovering the purposes of God in our lives as we're here. So, we want that. We seek that. We look for that. We look to fulfill the reason and the purpose for which we came into the earth in the first place. Now, realize too that those that are in the bondages of many of the religious systems of the world, that, you know, when somebody is put in a prison, the guard that seeks to keep them in prison, they got to be in prison too with them. So both the prisoner and the jailer are both in prison. And even if the jailer gets to go home for the night, he's still got to come back in the morning to keep them all in prison. So, you know, it's the stupidest thing to be put in prison when you can be out, and to be the people that are having to guard them, you have to be in there with them too. So in the process of people being enslaved, the enslavers are bound as well. You know, I noticed that when I was, you know, there was a window of time where I was on pastoral staff of a very, very large church. I've done that, you know, there was a couple of times in different countries. That, you know, that was part of my journey. And one thing that I did notice was that the people at the front, the people at the back, they were all in bondage. And they were bound to the systems that they served. There wasn't freedom there. And there was a limitation. And the thing is Christ wants us to go the full distance with Him. And part of that full distance is going to be a letting go of the safety net and the man-made structures that we've put in place. Listen, we've established what happened with Paul. And we love Paul. There's incredible things in his writings. But we also have to understand the conclusion of the matter. And in Acts chapter 20, he talks about it. Same thing like Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, Solomon goes through, in 12 chapters, he goes through as much as you can do in this life with money, power, wealth, all of those things, and pleasure, and everything else that's possible with the richest man that's ever lived, and with wisdom, and he documents it in 12 chapters and gives you the conclusion of the matter in verse 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And to understand the conclusion of the matter is important, because people will go through many, many different things, and then ultimately they will come to their conclusion. I remember when I wrote my master's thesis in college, you will go through, it was 187 pages, the thing that I wrote. But ultimately it comes down to three conclusions You know, three premises in the end that you should eventually be able to establish in what it is that you've done with all this research and everything else, and you've backed up your case. And Paul, in all of what he did, there's a conclusion of the matter. For those that have eyes to see it, and you can read it. And Paul, bless his heart, trying to establish a system to help the early church to move forward, and he wrote a bunch of letters from prison because it wasn't working. And then when he got out, he realized that so much of the system that he had built was built on his own personal individual personality. And as soon as he was out of the way, that savage wolves would come in and scatter the flock. And he told people to contend for the faith. And ultimately, you're going to have to know Christ for yourself. And in Jude, in Jude, we see that the flock had been scattered. We see that the savage wolves had come in. So the system itself was ripe for being taken over. And that's what's happened in the modern day. So you get little isolated pockets here and there, well-meaning people, but ultimately it comes down to an individual walk. And you don't need any man to teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes upon you. The Spirit of God will give you what you need for you to be able to walk this thing out. But for somebody to not understand the core principle of the matter, and just to take a little chunk of Paul's letters out of context here, out of context there, or just little pieces to try to justify their case, they miss the point. And the point was, don't do that. Recently, there was a BBC article where the Pope stated that 4% of the Catholic priests were pedophiles, according to their records. 4%. So, 1 out of 25 priests, if you put your child in Sunday school there, you have a chance of that child being abused on a Sunday. Doesn't sound very good, does it? Now, I'm just telling you what the Pope has admitted, and I would guess that those numbers are much higher than they're actually reporting. Those are just the reported numbers. Now, why? Why do we have those kind of systems? Well, the part of the problem is when you've got a man-made system that vets men according to certain criteria and the way that they want to set things up, well, if the Spirit of God is not the one that's doing it, then, you know, it's very easy for the enemy to put his people in there. Because they will go to the top of the class and they will check all the boxes and they'll be first front and center to volunteer for whatever is necessary. But in the end, they're not the ones that should be there. See, when the Spirit of God calls somebody to something, He calls them. He taps them. It's not somebody saying, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to be a priest. That's going to be my career. No, it doesn't work like that. When God calls, He taps, He chooses, He decides. So just as God called Moses in the desert, in the wilderness, just as God called Saul, who later became Paul, or Peter, or any one of the 12 apostles, or you just go down the list, God always called those that He wanted to follow Him by name. So the many are called, but the chosen are few. The chosen are those that respond to the call, because also free will is engaged. But for people that think that they can become something, and if you don't have the grace of God operating in you to do this, you're in it for a world of hurt. Because also those that preach and teach incur a stricter judgment. That's in the book of Timothy. So, you know, I personally would not want to do this if God did not tap me to do this. I would not want to do this unless this was part of my walk in obedience to Him. Because you've got to have the grace of God to be able to do these things. You've got to have the Spirit of God to be able to exercise those gifts according to the will of the Spirit. You don't want to be doing this kind of thing on your own. You don't want to be doing this kind of thing in your own mindset, in your own planning, in your own idea. No. You want to do what the Spirit of God leads you to do. But for some, you've got a different call. You've got a different gifting. You've got a different expression. So do that. But the process, you see the contrast, because between being free and walking things out in the Spirit of God, contrast that to the way that the world works, which is to conform you to divide you and conquer you. So to get you fighting against somebody over here, somebody over there, because that's your problem. And if you could just get those bad people to go away, everything would be fine. Listen, it's never going to be fine because the problem is not outside. The problem is inside. You need peace within. And the reason that people get so ticked off at other people is because inside them there's no peace. So if it's not some different ethnic group or racial group, it'll be some different socioeconomic status. Or if it's not that, it's going to be the people with curly hair or straight hair or blonde hair or the people that live in the north or the south or the east or the west or something. There will always be a reason to be divided and conquered if you fall into that. But when you walk in the Spirit, you're free. And we do have very real enemies in this life. But the way that you're going to be free is by understanding who those enemies also are and not falling for those traps. Because they don't want you out. They don't want you to leave this prison. They want you fighting with the other prisoners. They don't want you walking out of the front door that's wide open. They can't keep you there when you walk with Christ. Because the debt's been paid. And you have that you can freely walk out. So they don't want you to leave. So they've got to try to keep you bound. They've got to try to keep you twisted up into just big knots where you can never, ever, ever see things straight or be free. But God's given you what you need to be free. God's given you what you need for health, for wholeness, for wellness, for an amazing time and an amazing journey in your time in the earth right now. So realize the traps and understand the deceptions, but more than anything, just listen to the voice of the Spirit and be free. And whatever the struggle has been yesterday, that doesn't have to be your struggle today. Whatever the problem has been in the past does not have to be your problem today. Adjust. Adjust and move on. You know, one thing too is just if you continue to do the same thing, you're going to get the same result. So sometimes you got to switch things up. And I was talking to somebody about this recently, and just the understanding for them was just like, look, see, God has an individual destiny for you. And sometimes you're going to have to let go of certain people. Even they may be lovely, wonderful people, but there's maybe something specific that's working on in their lives. And sometimes you can't tangle those paths together on too deep of a level because you're going to get wrapped up in what's going on with them and they're going to get wrapped up in what's going on with you, and that may not work together. And there may not be a blessing in that. So sometimes, have you ever wondered why sometimes, you know, you may engage in some projects and they just keep getting destroyed or cut down or whatever? Well, why don't you just try doing that one thing, stepping out with just God and seeing what happened? Because, you know, it's, I mean, Moses had to respond. I mean, God sent people and he sent the resources, but he had to respond as an individual first. And so often we want to have a partner in with something before we'll ever get going. But sometimes, you know what? There's some things God just wants you to do. Because that's your assignment. That's your call. That's your purpose. And you just need to do it. And in doing it, in taking those steps, you're going to see the hand of God back you up. You're going to see God reach out and you're going to see him work through you. And he's going to be pleased with that. Sometimes there's some people, hey, listen, they're toxic, and you don't want them engaged in that because they're going to destroy it. And there's a time bomb waiting with certain people to go off at just the time that you need the help. The enemy's putting them there to stab you in the back, and that's why they're there front and center right now to try to help you. But listen to the voice of the Spirit, and just know that God is going to bring the right people at the right time, but discernment and the Spirit of God leading and quickening you. That's how you know Ananias and Sapphira are up to no good in Acts chapter 5. That's how you know. If you don't have the voice of the Spirit speaking to you, you're not going to know. And that corruption is going to be sown into all of what you're trying to do and all of what God has for you to do. So keep it simple. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Don't be afraid to go out on your own. Don't be afraid to do what God is quickening you to do. Don't fall for the traps of being divided and conquered by the enemy. Don't realize that the peace needs to start within you. And when there's peace inside of you, it's going to be, it's a whole lot easier to be at peace without. And when people try to just get you caught up in all of their craziness, just let it pass. We do have missions while we're here in this life. But let that be the focus and not the drama of the world. You can be aware of what the world is doing, but don't let it grab or captivate your heart or dig you into it. Just let God direct you in your time. And trust and know that He's in control. We're in an amazing time. We love you guys. We're praying for you. God bless you. Keep in touch. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. All right. God bless you. Bye.